We all still good? Saturday night, eh? Night we normally stay up a little bit later. I don't know if wrestling is the right word, just through how I want to take this session tonight. Because I have a word which I'm fully aware could be helpful and meaningful tonight, but also I have the privilege of being able to preach that next week, the week after, etc. And so I think what we're going to do for this next session is I'm going to take some elements out of this, but I really do. I carried it into last night, and then completely independently, Byron was feeling it. Independent of that, Annalise sent me a message just saying, I really feel like God wants to do something in particular, which I'll reveal now. And so just there's been faith in the room to receive something of the work of God for both our healing and restoration, but also positioning us in the army to receive the keys of the kingdom of God, to be able to receive the gifts and unlock the gifts that God has for us. And so I don't want to just preach about that. I want to participate in releasing that. And so I'm telling you that now because in, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes time, we're going to do that. And so if you are sitting here, no matter where you are in the journey, we go from being broken people, because that's all of our story in our sinful world and in our own sinful beings, when we don't know Christ and we don't necessarily know his patterns, or they haven't yet established themselves in our lives, so we've come into a position of wholeness, or on that journey to wholeness at least. And so there are people like that in this room, to people that have been serving Christ for 60, 70 years, and possibly are saying, God, what does this next season hold for me? I've served in this environment in my 20s, in this environment in my 30s, here in my 40s. I'm now sitting in my 70s, possibly my 80s, and I'm in this room and I have breath, but I don't know that I'm counting so much for Jesus. And everything in between. And I have a high level of faith. This is going to sound really weird. I don't believe last night's little aircon moment was a coincidence. I didn't know that God would do that. I believe that God caught our attention, that even as Byron was to speak about expectation comes with communication, expectation comes with verbalization. There was a verbalization, and God used something as silly as aircons to get our attention last night. That if he can do that for something as meaningless as cool air for us in an auditorium, how much more could he do tonight for us if we ask him to do that? And so I want us to try and shift from receiving the word of God and the Spirit of God doing his transformative work in us, to now kind of starting to say, okay, I'm going to shift from just receiving mode to actually trying to access something of the kingdom of God through Christ by the power of the Spirit of God. Is that all right? So that's where we're going to go. I'm preparing you for that. 15th of January, 2009, US Airways flight 1549 took off from New York, from JFK Airport. And many of you will know the story. As it took off, it hit a flock of geese, and both engines cut out. There were 155 passengers on the plane. And in a moment, Sully Sullenberger III, who was the pilot of that plane, had to make a decision as to whether he would be able to turn that plane without thrust back to JFK or take the course of least destruction. And then a split decision, he realized he was not going to be able to make it back to the airport. He looked down and saw the Hudson River, which flows through New York City, And he landed an aeroplane on the water in New York City, and all 155 passengers survived. He then got awarded for his bravery and courage the keys to the city of New York from the mayor. What that meant was, pretty much wherever he went, he was a hero and got free meals and could access whatever he wanted. And it got me thinking, while I was just thinking about the keys of the kingdom of God, here was a man who crashed a plane he was entrusted to fly, that caused trauma to a whole bunch of people. And he got given the keys of the city. And I just thought, geez, God, if a man can crash a plane and get given the keys to a city, why do we find it so hard when sometimes we feel like we take off in our lives and we hit a flock of geese and we crash land? Why do we find it so hard to believe that our Father in heaven would also give us the keys to his kingdom? Why do we find it easier to recognize the courage of a man to crash land something he was supposed to keep afloat, in the air? And we'd all go, what an amazing man that you managed to crash land this thing and survive. I know many of your stories in this room. And you have crash landed and survived. And you are still standing. And you're still taking steps forward. And the keys of the kingdom are offered to you by our Father in heaven. And the keys of the kingdom are so much better than the keys of the city. Because the keys of New York get you into some restaurants, but the keys of the kingdom give you access to the resurrection power of God. I believe there is something on the word resurrection, because it's come up again independently in different messages. Byron last night was talking about what Jairus was trying to stop a tragedy, but Jesus was allowing a tragedy to be moved into glory. And then he said this, and he said Jairus was trying to prevent an illness or stop an illness, but Jesus was going to turn an illness into a resurrection. And then Candace talks about the power of God, and it's the same as the resurrection power of God. And I really do believe prophetically that there is something on resurrection power tonight. And I think that is both appropriated for our personal stories, but also us as Durbanites. You see, Candace comes from Benoni. She leads a church in Boksburg. We all know Drikus. He's number one in the world, but actually he's number eight in Boksburg. And if you include women, he's number 12 in Boksburg. And so when Candace stands up here and talks about dying dogs and stabbing, it's like 5 years ago, us Durbanites would have been like, go back to Boksburg. But tonight, we're like, oh, is that the best you've got for us? We've withstood a whole lot more in the last few years. We are resilient here in Durban. We are. We've learned some things. But I also know that many of us in this room are needing the resurrection power of Jesus for relationships that got strained and isolated, for businesses that died, for homes that have been destroyed in floods, for dreams, for hopes, for capital that we've invested in businesses that we're never going to see the return because we're just not going to live that long. I believe God wants to do that tonight. And he wants to do it for your sake, and he wants to do it for the sake of the city. And I tell you why, because when we get the keys of the kingdom, it's not just for our sake. It's so that we're able to offer to a dying world something that looks different. We're able to offer to a dying world the life of God. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, and if you are aware of it, if you've even given it thought. But something is taking place in Durban. The ANC, the IFP, and the EFF are all launching their presidential manifestos in Durban. Never happened before. Guys vying for power for our country are launching in Durban. And this is what happens when the church is impotent, incompetent, unwilling to stand in the gap. False governments get to take the true government. And I'm not talking about the ANC, the EFF, and the IFP. You can throw in any other political party, because the reality is those political parties are not based on kingdom values. And so please don't misunderstand me just because those three political parties, that's not the point. But when our hope is in some political, man-governed political party to be the rescuer of the environments that we live in, we have lost our focus. And we will crash land again and again and again. And our Father, because He is good, when we're in Christ, keeps saying, but I've given you the keys of the kingdom. I've given you the keys of the kingdom. There's resurrection power, and that resurrection power in life is not only for you, but it's for your city. The definition of the city amongst the Hebrew people is, sorry, Wendy, I'm jumping all over my notes here, so you probably have to go to the very last slide. The last graphic, I think, is the definition of a city. The definition of a city as Hebrews, ancient Hebrews would have understood it, is this: a place of awakening and fortification. And so what that means is this, that a city is both a place where I come alive, I'm illuminated, I see, I'm inspired, and it is a place of safety. And if we think of our city, if we think of our nation, if we think of environments today, this city is not a place of inspiration for us, and it certainly has become a whole lot more insecure or unsecure. And so what is taking place both governmentally and naturally and environmentally and every other entity is not looking like the kingdom. And yet in the church, we have this power within us which allows us to inspire. The city should be better because we are here. Our environments should be better because we are here. People should feel safer because we are here. People should be able to look at the church and go, I don't know what's going on. My dog is dying. I have people, my children are sick. It's too much money. I don't know where to go. I don't know how I'm going to do this. But I see Richard, and he somehow is standing tall. Is that just me that can hear? Is that angelic music? Is that... I just didn't know if I was hearing angels in my head or if I'm... Can I just ask a favor? Because we are going to enter into a time that I don't want to be interrupted by all these distractions. Can we all just take a moment now and turn our phones off? Let's do that now. Just check. Make sure. If you think you've turned it off, just check. Double check. Because I don't want to in 10 minutes' time. How we respond to what we see around us. It's very interesting. Nehemiah has this response. So he's told, while he's living in a foreign land, the walls of Jerusalem are broken. I don't think I go a day without somebody telling me about the broken walls of Durban. But something grips Nehemiah. And he doesn't settle for broken walls. And he speaks to a king and says, release me. to go and fix it. But what happens is it says this in the scriptures first. He heard of the broken walls, and he went into the prayer room. He went to pray, and God put something in his heart. I love the word that you've just brought, which is why I want to change tack tonight. He went into the prayer room, found God for the answer for what to do about it. What was the burden of the broken walls? And he could lead a people back into a city, which became a safe place again and a place of inspiration. Anthem, I am fully convinced that we have a 123-year history, not so that we can just survive for ourselves, you hear stories of this church 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago, and what they've done, how it stood against apartheid, how it has planted I don't know how many tens of churches, if not approaching 100 churches, how it has served the poor. It cost to themselves, not considered the cost to themselves, but considered the worth for somebody else. And Byron and Candace asked me, what is the atmosphere of Anthem right now? And I said this, I said, last year was an incredible year of peace after 3 very brutal years. And I can hear in your language, there's starting to be okay, we can do this. We're not just surviving, we can do this. As a collective, I'm conscious that there are individual stories here. And so I think it is time, Anthem, that the church would be at the forefront of what is taking place in Durban, that for such a time as this, we would take hold, we would receive the keys of the kingdom of God, the resurrection power, the resurrection life. We would do the work to fix our brokenness. Do the work to fix our brokenness. We would receive the gift that God has given to us. Gifts are free. Maturity is expensive. And too many people want to say, well, I've received this gift of God, but I don't want to do the work to mature it so that it can be sharp-edged and meaningful and actually make a difference. I don't know why I was just, I enjoy Formula One, and I was just looking at the G-force that the guys travel with, and they average about six G's through a race. But if they have an accident, it's about 50 G's. Now, just to give you an indication, at 50 G's, like your blood is unable to counter what your body wants to do. It. So your body moves. All the blood rushes to your feet or wherever it's gone, and your heart is unable to beat the gravitational pull at that point in time, the force at that point in time. And so if you are not fit and strong, you are dead. And it just got me thinking, when the kingdom of God comes against the kingdom of darkness, there is such a force that's hit, but the church is not fit and strong. And therefore what ends up happening is we either die or we back out of the fight. And I believe that God is calling us today to say, church, will you make my city inspiring? Would you illuminate? Would you reveal God's glory again? And would you make it a safe place for people again? For the poor, for those caught in addiction, for those that are fatherless, for those that are orphaned, for the widows. Would you make it a secure place, not an insecure place for them? But it's going to come with a whole nother round of cost. And many of you, Judy Carter, in this room, you've paid the price and you're still breathing. Will you pick it up again? I can't see through the lights. I'm not sure if my boys are in the back row there. They are. Rourke. Sam. I don't know if Nate's there. 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds. You have a Judy Carter who's more senior. She's paid the price. Will you, as young men, pick up the keys of the kingdom of God? And will you devote yourself to him? Would you gain strength and fitness so that when the kingdom of God in you clashes with the kingdom of darkness, you can withstand it? When pornography is thrown at you, you can stand against it because you are fit and strong. When you are offered drugs and alcohol, you are fit and strong and can stand against it. David has this desire, and this is my last point. I will re-preach this message another week. David has this idea to bring the presence of God. So I think there's room to equate it to the kingdom, the presence of God through the ark, to bring it back to his resting place. That is a noble thought, but what David does is he instructs people to build a vehicle to carry the ark. Like, I'm going to do this the most efficient way possible. And what ends up happening is somebody dies through that process because God had said the ark is not carried on a vehicle, the ark is to be carried on priests' shoulders. The kingdom of God is to be carried on our shoulders, not carried through a vehicle. And so all of us talk about the church as this organization that exists. And so we want the church to do something about this. We want the church to fix the orphan problem. We want the church to pay for it. We want the church to do this as though it's just this organization, this vehicle. And people are losing their lives because the vehicle is not capable of doing it because it has never been designed to do that. We, the people that carry the resurrection power of God, we carry the presence of God into our city. And it requires people that will deal with their brokenness, move towards wholeness, that they will receive the gift, move towards maturity, that they would consider others more highly than themselves, and that they would say, actually, the keys of the kingdom of God are for the city, for inspiration, for illumination, and for security. And so instead of me sitting around a table, a dinner table, complaining about our water problems, I'm going to sit around a table and dream up solutions from heaven to fix them. I'm going to ask us to respond tonight. And I don't quite know how I'm going to administrate this. We'll figure it out as we go. I really do believe that there are three categories of people here. Or there's three categories that I want to pray for. One, if you are here and you believe that you have crash landed, and you are not worthy of the keys of the kingdom, I want to tell you tonight that in Jesus, if your life is surrendered to him, the keys are on offer. And so if you are here and you feel like your life has crash landed, if you feel like you've taken off and you've hit geese and your engines aren't working and you're diving and you've done it time and time again, I don't mind if you've done it one time, I don't mind if you've done it 50 times. The grace of God is sufficient. I want to pray for you, but I need you to respond. And I am conscious that our practice here is to really not, is we would normally with heads bowed, and I get that. This is us, this is Anthem. You're here on Friday, Saturday, you're it. We're it. So I'm going to ask, if you know, no, not if you know, if you desire for the Spirit of God to affirm again in you that the keys of the kingdom are available to you despite your brokenness, despite your crash landings, despite your plane on its way down. I believe God would do that for you, and I'm going to ask you to stand right now while the lights are like they are. I really want to encourage you that if you're sitting and your heart is beating, but you feel like you're going to be exposed if you stand, you're not. We are a kingdom people, which means this is a safe place. This is not an unsafe place. This is a safe place. And we're going to help you get free tonight. We're not exposing you. We're helping you. As Max said on that video, this is a place where I can come into my freedom, not be condemned. So I want to encourage you, stand. Jesus, in your kingdom, I don't know how we find this place where our unworthiness encounters you deciding that we're worthy. And yet that's what it is. And so tonight, I pray that even as I jokingly prayed last night for the aircons, something so much more meaningful here, life at stake, I pray, as you did it last night for something insignificant, you would do tonight for something significant. That these people who are living with any sense of unworthiness in them, any sense that their brokenness or their crash landings have meant that they are not worthy of the keys of the kingdom. I pray, Spirit of God, that you would come right now and you would come and set them free. Set them free. Even right now, neuropathways that have physically ordered themselves to believe that they are unworthy, that you are able to undo that in a moment. You told Jax and me that our daughter's healing was going to be the first of many miracles. And so right now, God, even as you rewired my daughter's brain, would you rewire every lie, every false thinking that is present in these people that are standing? And would you lead them into the freedom that comes from the kingdom of God, the freedom that comes from receiving Christ's finished work, that our brokenness before you is able to be turned into strength, that our illness before you is able to be turned into resurrection power. And so would you set them free now? Would you set them free? Brokenness on path to healing, Lord God. We're all on that journey always, but may we believe it. May we believe it. The keys of the kingdom. Just feel like in this moment, for you that are standing, would you put out your right hand, or your dominant hand? Put out your dominant hand. Put it palm facing up, like you're going to receive something. Would you receive the keys of the kingdom of God that Jesus said he would give to Peter upon the confession of his faith that Jesus Christ is the Lord? And for everyone that confesses that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the keys of the kingdom are given. Receive the keys. Picture it. Imagery is powerful. Illumination is powerful. Picture it. Picture keys being put in your hand. Take hold. Take hold of the keys. Take hold of the keys. Receive them. You can carry on standing if you choose. Carry on just allowing the Spirit of God to minister to you. I'm going to move on to the second group of people. If you're not sure that God has gifted you, and you are crying out to God, God, I don't know what my gift is. I don't know that I'm able to contribute in the life of the church, in the story of the church, in the story of the kingdom. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you would desire for God to deposit a gift in you, to unlock the gift that He has already resided in you when He created you. If that's you, would you stand? I want to pray for you. I believe that God is going to hand out gifts today. Hand out gifts today. God, as people are standing all over this auditorium, you know our hearts. You know how you created us. And then in our own journeys, born sinful from the womb, not even our own fault. And yet that's our story. Our gifts get masked. Our gifts get hidden. Our gifts get distorted. But in a moment, Jesus, in a moment, you come to correct. You come to reveal. You come to illuminate. You come to secure us. And I pray for every person standing that right now, Spirit of God, you would reveal, you would illuminate the gift. Illuminate the gift. The gift of prophet. The gift of prophet. Would you release that, God, in this room? The gift of apostle. The gift of teachers. The gift of pastors. The gift of evangelists. The gift of servants. The gift of leadership. The gift of hospitality. The gift of generosity. The gift of administration. The gift of genius thoughts. The gift of discernment. The gift of wisdom. Would you release that, God? Would you unlock it now, Lord God? Ask, friends. I'm going to just have a moment. Just ask. Ask God to reveal. If there's something that you're desiring, ask Him for it. Our God is a God who loves to give good gifts for those who desire it and are committed to stewarding it towards maturity. Would you receive the gift?